You have just entered the KD Ma podcast. Keyboard plus mouse or die.
Hey guys, what is going on? And welcome to episode 67 of the KB Mod podcast. We are live right now. If you're listening to this recording, you can listen to us live every Sunday at 7 p.m. PST, 10 p.m. EST. We've got the usual crew of... Hey, what is Nick's name now? Halo 4. Got it. That's appropriate.
All right, this is... People did remind me. This is episode 67.
Yes.
And they were saying, you know, that was the episode where...
you're right.
Wayne just broke the controller on PKA, and I made a memorial video.
Not that we are ever worrying about what PKA is doing.
No.
But you're right. It does have a... It's probably a mystical number. Who knows?
But man, that was hilarious.
Yeah. It could...
1v1 after the cast.
We may have to do some
1v1. M16's on Bog, the epitome of skill.
Bog is a great 1v1 map.
Fucking 1v1 M16s with fucking 300 ping. That's the best. That's the superior gamer wins that every time.
1v1 me on Hemorrhage.
The fuck in their right mind thinks that a 1v1 in any game that's not Quake actually matters?
Truth.
It's well, I also think it's also good too when you consider you know, you probably should play people on, like, you should play European people as well, just to really balance out, make everything on a console game. It's really, really well done. Good way to test with the game done.
1v1 Guitar Hero doesn't even matter, Titans. That's stupid, because no matter how good you are, you're not going to be 100% consistent with the things you can do. 1v1's are retarded. It's fucking stupid.
My quick scope record on Modern Warfare 2 is 420 and 69. That's...
Oh, wow.
So if we want to talk about this real quick, I actually killed Chubby and Fantasy in a 2v1 clutch in Pro Mod, so that makes me the superior player, because I beat them 2v1 one time. Yep,
I think that's objectively true. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I'm the best. I'm the fucking best player.
Now that we've established that.
I'm the best player. I'm the best TF2 player. I'm the best Pro Mod player.
All facts.
Rip Pro Mod.
It's out there, people. Deal with it. John needs to deal with it, meme with the sunglasses. Like, you know what I mean?
It's pronounced Meme. Thank you.
Okay, it's actually not. So you're going to actually...
I'm sorry. It's actually pronounced Meme.
God, why is he on the cast?
How would it sound if Ross Geddes said it?
Ross, yeah. Ross Geddes loves the memes. Okay. All right. Well,
shout out to Ross Geddes.
Let's go down the list. I guess Nick is first. Well, technically, I'm first this week. So
go
first. All right, I'll go
first.
What we've been playing this week, we always talk about that, obviously, every podcast. This week, I've been playing I haven't really played much League of Legends because we've been busy at work, and then we're doing a Halo 4 5-day stream. So we've been playing Halo 4. And Halo 4 is amazing. And right now, the first time I played it, I think it was at, was it Comic-Con? I forget what event I played it at. I said it's going to be possibly the best Halo to date. People are like, oh my God, Call of Duty clone. And after playing it again in the final build, it's unbelievable. It's the best looking Halo ever. It's the smoothest running Halo ever. I know, LOL, 30 frames. It doesn't feel like 30, though.
That is the best looking game on console.
Dude, it's
the best looking game on console, and I, you know, I'm normally the guy to bash it, but it looks really fucking good.
Yeah. It's incredibly balanced.
Granted, you have to install content to your hard drive, but still,
yeah.
I said this on one of my streams this week. Someone was like, "What's your game of the year right now?" Well, on our award show, it won't be Halo 4, but pretty much everywhere else it will
be. I feel like it will be. I mean, we'll see what happens. Call of Duty notwithstanding.
I don't know. Assassin's Creed is pretty good. That wasn't even a Scottish accent. That was just a dumb accent.
Oh, man. Yeah, Halo 4 is fantastic. So I'm excited about that. That's all I've been playing. I'm going to try to play some League maybe or later this week. I don't know. But, yeah, that's it for me. What about you, Fenton?
I started playing Dota this weekend.
I saw you on Dota.
The EU people.
Yeah.
I like talking Scottish now.
Do you like Dota? What do you think of it so far?
I think it's definitely harder than League.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got an extra layer of...
Is it better?
Me not being able to play it.
extra level.
The more hardcore people are going to say it's better because it's just harder in general. You got like denials and stuff. Like, I still don't have that down or anything.
Denials, yeah.
It's more complicated.
You can deny creep kills. You can last hit your
own.
And you can creep walking, that kind of stuff. Like, I forget to do that.
Hit your own power, too.
And something I always forget is buying scrolls to teleport, because you can just do that in League. You can teleport back to your base, and you have to buy scrolls and that stuff, so it's just harder. Or you can just creep walk, like Justin Wong.
I saw that.
Wow.
And it's not on PC yet, but I've been playing. I finished Assassin's Creed 3, and that game's amazing.
Yeah, really good.
Hopefully, I want to know what it's going to look like on PC in terms of visuals. Well,
I actually loaded up Assassin's Creed 2 today, and like every once in a while, I'll just load up the game and I'll climb to the highest building and just look at it for like 10 minutes and just like spin my camera around and then turn it off.
Venice is like Venice in Assassin's Creed 2 is like one of the prettiest cities in any game ever.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. I want to know, like, the render distances in Assassin's Creed 3 on Xbox are really awful. Like, I was up on top of a tower yesterday, and it was probably about 200 feet was the render distance. And then things are just, like, plain, like, the grass is just a green texture. It's awful. So hopefully looks good on PC.
Hopefully it looks better. But
is this Bonk from last week? Is this Bonk from last week who did the shout-out to everything back this week?
Yes.
With more shout-outs and shout-out to render distances now? He's the most dedicated one-line troll ever. Shout out to green textures.
There it is.
It's so good every on brand because it's delayed too.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. What about you, John? What have you been playing?
A little bit of League. A little bit TF2. Tried to play a pro mod. Couple cheaters. Uninstalled that again.
I installed a couple. I was like, this is just going to end in tears. Terribleness.
Lots of natural selection, too, which is fucking incredible, by the way. Please.
It looks really good. Yeah. I used to play it way back in the day.
We have an excellent stream coming up this week, which I will get to in a couple minutes for natural selection.
Too. Yeah, mostly TF2, but I've been playing some other stuff.
Brandon, Mr. 3v3 Pro, LOL.
I played some League this weekend. Played with John a little bit.
You play any 5v5s or only 3v3s?
That's all we play.
We did play fives.
Okay.
It was fun, but yeah, I kind of mixed it up, 3v3 and 5v5.
Who are you character wise? Sorry, real quick. Who are you?
I've been kind of bouncing around because in order to do fives, we had to I had to buy a bunch of the cheaper champions so that we could do draft pick. So I've got a bunch of the cheaper ones, and I've just been kind of playing with some different ones. So I don't know, Cho'Gath, Garen, Blitzcrank, all annoying champions.
Blitzcrank is one of the most annoying champions.
And then you get the fucking retard on your team who decides that he's not going to fucking ban Blitzcrank. Yeah, and then he fucking yells at me for getting fucking destroyed because they have a fucking Blitzcrank.
Playing a lane against Blitzcrank is one of the, if he's playing with someone else, is just fucking awful.
You just have to stay out of range. Can't do anything.
Yeah, I'm with PSN/2013 right now. I know some of these words.
Let me tell you this right now, though. Every time, and then I'll get a Blitzcrank on my team for like the first time in forever. Someone will actually pick him. I'm like, oh, finally, someone's going support. And they will not hit one Blitzcrank pull ever. And they will run into like fights and initiate. And then, oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, it can be frustrating.
You don't have to buy any of the heroes in Dota 2.
That's great.
Just saying.
Well, I haven't spent any money on League, and I already have whatever 16 champs or something.
It's pretty good.
So anyway, I played some of that. I played some Smite as well because they had a big patch on Friday, and so they have this new arena mode, which is just like a massive cluster.
It's like WoW PvP, or they're creeps.
They're creeps, but it's basically you're in a big coliseum, and so it's pretty much just a constant team fight. You respawn quickly. It feels almost like a 3v3 size, even smaller than that. I don't even know. It's a really small arena, and it's a much faster paced game. So I played that a little bit. It seemed like. I think some of the imbalances come out a little bit more with certain champion combinations because, like, you have two champions, Ares and Ymir, who we played against, and one of them has this pull that pulls all of your people in, and then like Ymir's does the same thing. And so if they're done in tandem with each other, yeah, it's ridiculous. So I think it exposes some new balance issues, but overall seems pretty fun. And so I played that, and then today I tried Mech Warrior Online, the open beta, which I'm guessing since it's open beta, there's no NDA or anything.
No, there's no NDA. You can stream to it.
And so, because I wanted to try that because, you know, I know it went open and I wanted to see how it compared to Hawken. And the answer to that is not, like, they are so far from even reaching the same audience. I would say
yeah, Hawken, they're totally different.
Yeah, like Hawken is Hawken is to Call of Duty what what Mech Warrior is to like DayZ or Arma. Like it is a true mech sim. It is much slower paced, yeah, much different.
Okay.
I had so much trouble because you have to throttle up and throttle down.
Yeah.
Like rather than like W and S are throttle up and throttle down, yeah, not move forward.
They're not
move
movement
backward,
keys, like, they're throttle keys. And so you can just let the game go if you hold down W and go like get up to max speed and it'll go on its own. And your movement and your mouse look pivot differently. So like you can look around as your mech is still going straight in the direction you were going before. So it's just a very different movement style and a just very, very, very different game.
MKA696 in chat, just another reason to come out and see us live. We may answer something you say. Saying Mech Warrior is so much better than the blank that Hawken is, because I don't know what that swear word was.
I don't want to
like
know
a
for
false,
one.
That's a false statement, because they're not the same game, and they both can occupy that space.
I disagree.
Really well.
Because that's like, I mean, think about the person that likes to play something like Call of Duty or Blacklight or even CS. Compared to someone that likes to play Arma, just a very, very, very different audience. And and the thing with Mech Warrior 2 is that I haven't played a Mech Warrior since I don't know my Sega Genesis or something. So I have nothing to compare it to in terms of what the old games were like. But when I was playing it today, it's like Counter-Strike in that you don't respawn when you die. And so you just have this match, and if you die early, you just quit the game and go find another one. Because the matches, you know, they're not that long, but I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be for me, but I did break out the triple monitor because I don't know that there's ever been a game that utilizes triple monitors as well as that game could. So I tried that, and it actually works pretty well. So that was really cool.
I will say Mech Warrior, I enjoyed, I watched a stream of Mech Warrior for like an hour at the tail end of work, and like watching it was awesome. Playing it was much less awesome. Mm. Like just because the learning curve is extremely
steep. You
gotta
be down to play the as simmy as you can get with fake robots that don't exist premise.
Yeah, it's very much a sim type game, and it feels like that when you first get in there. The one thing that kind of bugged me just on a technical level is that they have sort of a League of Legends type launcher where that controls your mech loadouts and stuff, and the actual game loading is just like it's just a game. And when you quit, you can quit back out to the launcher. So all your key bindings and stuff and your video settings aren't actually in the game, and you can't adjust any of that on the fly. And MechWarrior is the type of game where you want to print out like the key bindings, because there are a ton of different keys and you have to remember them. So that I found frustrating, because it's like for new players, it's not very friendly in terms of, knowing what you need to do, what keys you should hit, what your different abilities are. It's a very hardcore type game.
Yeah,
it's really hardcore. I mean, Mech Warrior always has had its diehard fans that will go to it no matter what. But I mean, I just think that the gaming games like that, maybe that were more popular back in the day, like you said, were Call of Duty in the shooter space. Like, okay, whatever. Maybe it's not a fair comparison, but Hawken's much less simmy than Mech Warrior ever was or will be.
Well, they're not the same game.
It's just like it's shooter. A first person shooter in mechs, but exactly. it still feels and plays like a first person shooter. Whereas Mech Warrior I mean, I guess technically it's a first-person shooter, but it's really, it doesn't feel like that. It's a much slower paced game. You're looking at people from like across a long open map and like hitting them with a laser from, you know, from really far away. It's just, it's an interesting game. It's going to appeal to some people, but I think for a free to play game, I think it's probably going to be hard for people to get into.
Yeah, Fuzzy. Mech Warriors for Steel Battalion Casuals. That's right.
Steel Battalion is no joke. Jesus.
They both have their place, and MKA, the guy I was mentioned earlier, he said, yeah, I hate when people when like publications compare them, and that's so totally true, because they shouldn't be compared. They aren't.
Well, you compare them on paper, but then once you play them, you realize that they're the only similarity. They're targeting completely different audiences, and that's apparent when you open each game. Like, you will not mistake the two after you've actually played them.
Hawken has been built to be accessible. MechWarrior is not supposed to be accessible to anybody.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Like, four people, MechWarrior is accessible to about four people.
I really do. I mean, just from their standpoint, I'm kind of, like, I don't know that they've made that game with sort of the best... with the best ideas just for capturing an audience that you have to capture with free to play. I don't just from my initial impressions.
Get a lot of people, man.
Yeah, from my initial impressions, I don't know that I saw a game that's going to be able to get a user base that can sustain a free to play model. You know, for their sake, I hope I'm wrong. I think it's a game that can appeal to some people, but my first experience with it, you know, was difficult. It's not an easy game to get into, whereas I felt like Hawken was pretty easy to get in and start doing well. And I will say, though, it did run pretty well. I mean, it is a beta, but it ran really well, even triple monitors. I was able to keep around 30 frames on my 680 at 1080p, 5760 by 1080. So I was surprised that the performance was reasonable enough to actually play with triple monitors in a multiplayer setting. So that was good.
It'll get better too, so.
Yeah. But that's all I've been playing.
Cool. What about you, Dan?
Dan's been at the gym all week.
Yeah.
Lifting those weights.
The gym all week. Stop playing games. Now I went back and this was after last week's podcast on my show on Mondays here on the channel. I played Firefall. Checking back for the first time in 4 months with that game, which may have decided what it wants to be at this point. But I found it years beyond what it was. Mm. I didn't want to stop playing. Like, I try to keep the show like two and a half hours. I didn't want to stop playing once the stream ended. I was like, I want to go back and play this again. Mm. The problem was, or initially was that, like, I couldn't even get past like the third or fourth quest without just wanting to kind of rage quit because it was so frustrating. But Firefall is a lot better than it was, and I highly recommend checking it out if you need an MMO right now, and you also want a game that you can play just all PvP straight away. It will be a good one for you. The world is absolutely gorgeous now, and they've improved the questing a lot. And that was something that was, well, frankly, terrible in in the older iterations. There's no other word for it. I mean, it was just god awful. So, Firefall, darn good. And I've been playing a ton of Blacklight Retribution. I have a full gun setup now that I bought. Chaz and I have been grinding out, trying to get level 40 by the end of the month, which we will not do. But
not with that attitude.
We're trying. We're trying. Dude, it's so long. It takes so long. I hit 30 today. But,
oh, that's a grind. That's,
You're playing a lot. But the new map is awesome. It updated this week. Evac is out. Nick Fenton zooming in. But... It is really good. The only problem, oh my god, Nick.
This is horrifying with that mustache. It's just...
So, it's really fun though. They've done a lot of improvements. The new map is awesome. The katana is awesome, which is a new item. Although it has commando times a million on it,
The katana? Oh, really?
You can chop somebody from like half a map away. Oh, it's ridiculous. There's like several slashes you can do. Like you can hit like left mouse and right mouse do like different slashes and stuff. But anyway, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It wasn't that ridiculous when I playtested Ad Zombie, but it's pretty insane now. But it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying Blacklight again, kind of falling back in love with that game after not playing it for a bit. And then I also played Black Mesa, and I'm like two chapters from the end of Black Mesa right now. I've been
streaming. How is it? I haven't played through it.
Dude, it's so good. The only problem is that the parts that were super annoying in Half-Life are obviously still super annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm trying to think of one right now because there are several. But there's like I glitched out the helicopter fight in the canyon.
Yeah.
Like super hard. I just stood behind like an ammo box and it just blocked all the bullets and missiles from the helicopter. And then it would just pop up when it stopped shooting and killed it. Like there was no skill involved at all. Yeah,
that's the clever hangar use of game mechanics. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't think that was intended. But the room with all the trip bombs, it's near the end. It's like in surface tension. But that part's still really annoying. The residue processing part where you're going through the trash stuff and all the different conveyor belts, that part might be the stupidest part ever put in a game. Because there's nothing to tell you where to go at all. You just have to like, and eventually I went around circles like three times and then eventually got on the right conveyor belt to get out of there. But regardless, it is, I don't know if it warranted 8 years of them working on it, but it's really, really good. Yeah. I mean, I highly recommend.
And it was only like two guys though, right? Like two developers. Yeah, they had a bigger team, guys. But it was only two guys. That's worth 8 years.
Yeah. And they had a guy do the custom soundtrack recently. So the soundtrack is unbelievable. You can get it at blackmesa.com/soundtrack. I think it's free and you can choose to donate, but it is amazing.
That speaking of time frame made me think of something not related to the podcast at all. Anybody who has Netflix needs to watch Indie Game. It's a
documentary
available on Netflix.
Yeah,
oh, sweet.
Like the guys who made Braid and the guys who
I
made
almost Super bought it Pinch. On Steam when it was on there.
It's incredible and you need to watch it. Those people who make indie games are fucking weird.
Yeah, Edmund McMillan's a crazy dude.
He has like this entire life story about like why the color of the guy's tie on his suit is red, and he'll like tell you this in-depth story about it. And you're just like, dude, you're fucking weird.
But yeah, Black Mesa, totally worth getting. Obviously, it's free. It's a mod. You can go get it. It is better than Half-Life 1. Like, I would rather, having now played Black Mesa, I would rather play Black Mesa than Half-Life 1.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a better game. They improved on Valve. If that so there you go. So that's what I was playing this week. So that's what we played. That's what everybody played this week. And we have a couple announcements before we go into the news. Live stream scheduled for this week. Tomorrow night I'm streaming Mark of the Ninja, which I've played for about 45 minutes so far. But
that's Monday night, by the way. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, you will
Monday night it. For those of you live. But Monday night I'm playing Mark of the Ninja. Which I've played about 45 minutes. Fucking awesome. Spawn Trap, aka Claudio, donated it to me. He gave it to me.
He's a great dude.
So I was like, he is a great dude.
He's coming out to San Fran at some point. We're gonna take out.
But that game is really cool. But Tuesday night we have our open lobby deal, and it's gonna be Team Fortress 2 this week.
I'll have to install that game.
Chez has not told me what we're playing for his show because he's a scumbag. That's on Thursday.
Halo 4.
But Wednesday night, we are having a very special stream with Natural Selection 2 on Hex's show. We are going to be dual streaming on kbmod.com/dualstream with Eat My Diction. So if you're a fan of him, he'll be hanging out with Hex. I'll be hanging out on Skype because I don't have the game yet. And we are giving away a copy of Natural Selection 2, and there is a chance that we are going to have one of the developers on as well. We haven't completely confirmed that yet.
Is that game just ridiculous to learn?
No. Yeah, no, it's really not that hard to learn.
It seems pretty like intimidating.
Being a commander is hard to learn, but the rest of the game's really not. I was really overwhelmed for like my first hour, and then I was like, this is really much simpler than I thought it was. And
for
it
a game so that's $25, it looks pretty amazing.
Dude, it's so much fun.
So definitely check that out Wednesday. So, I mean, not to discount all the others this week, but if you can only make it to one, make it to Wednesday, because Diction's awesome, and he's a huge fan of this game, too. So he's pretty pumped to play. And, so come out for those shows. And also, if you had an Extra Life physical prize that you won, most of those were sent out late last week or this weekend by most of us. So I can't like speak specifically for everyone. All mine got sent out. I know Hex's got sent out. I think Bob's 2500K got sent to zero. But anyway, those did get sent out, so be on the lookout in your mail for those.
Basically, if you don't have your prize from Extra Life in like a week, digital, physical, whatever, just email us, admin@kibbymod.com.
So, and there were a couple mix-ups with digital gifts, but we are working those out, so no big deal there.
We now interrupt your scheduled programming to bring you an urgent broadcast from the front lines of America.
Oi, bro, skiddies.
It's not very intimidating when you look like this.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Bro, skiddies.
I come back to this. Good lord.
DNA. Daniel. Skiddies.
Some people watch it in two windows, one with ad block, one without. Strong move.
All right. Well, if all 325 of you are doing that, then that's acceptable. Windows but there's probably like two of you who actually do that.
How about you do five windows without ad?
Hey, we can have double standards, Dirk Deadeye, okay?
Well, it's a lot different.
And we are not, and that is an awful analogy, actually.
Hey, I still have to I have to fast forward through commercials, so I still see them. They still get their message.
Right. What? What's wrong with my mic?
You're breathing into it.
Someone's breathing into it. But
it's not that we say that watching live TV with commercials is bad, it's just watching live TV is bad. I don't think commercials have anything to do with that.
Well, in
it's
the shower.
Not for me. It's the fact that you have to schedule yourself around a show. That seems dumb.
Yeah, that seems dumb.
So, hardware news.
Get back to where it was. Anyway, starting out here with a little bit of AMD news, which isn't directly related to gaming, per se. But it is a bit, well, it's not surprising. But AMD is now going to be working on ARM-based processors. For those of you who don't know what ARM is, it's mostly a mobile architecture. And AMD is going to start putting them into their server, their Opteron processors, which actually are pretty competitive and are used pretty widely. But what this is basically, it says that AMD will continue to design x86 CPUs, and we all know Vishera's just not very good, the new the new chip from AMD. But what this basically signals, you can kind of take this as, at least in my opinion, and from the guy that I know that works there, is that pretty much this signals the end of AMD making x86 at some point in the future here, meaning Intel would be the only thing left making those types of processors. Well, that doesn't directly affect gaming per se. It could affect chip prices, and it just, once again, we've said it before, without a competitor, Intel can kind of just run rampant. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it leads, but it does signal AMD going more mobile with everything. So, but yeah, it's just another hit for AMD.
It's just a change in direction. It's just clear that, I mean, more and more of their moves are signaling that they're not going to focus on the desktop market as much, which is something that they've pretty much already informally seeded. And I think now they're kind of, these kinds of moves are making it more formal, that they're going in a different direction to try and have a different value proposition than what they have now, which is right now they don't really have one. they're beaten by Intel.
They've been getting fucked in the ass so long by Intel.
They're getting beaten by Intel. And
Brandon,
and
they've been getting fucked in the ass by Intel. Brandon,
can say it. Say it, Brandon. Say it.
Well, no, but even like NVIDIA as well, like NVIDIA and Texas Instruments and like every, I mean, a lot of other chip makers for mobile, for desktop. I mean, AMD is not that competitive really in any of the markets they serve right now. So it's an interesting move, but it's not going to even take place for another couple years.
But yeah, we could be allowed down to our last x86 architecture manufacturer.
Have to bow down to our hopefully benevolent dictator, Intel.
Yeah, hopefully. And another quick piece of kind of hardware news. I put this in hardware, even though it's really kind of not. But we did put up a video with a quick look at Windows 8 with the classic shell add-on on. So if you're getting a laptop soon, this is definitely an add-on you're going to want to look into, because your laptop will most likely have Windows 8 on it if you buy one. So you can take a look at that video. It's on our site. Hex made it. He's making a follow-up, which is going to be a lot more in-depth. He does a lot with Windows 8 for work and stuff, so you can definitely check it out, though, if you want the site.
I would say I've never seen anyone more aggressive about how okay it is that you must install Classic Shell or use just Classic Shell on Windows 8.
I am not using Classic Shell, and I'm using Windows 8.
And it's not too bad, or what? What do you think?
No, I like Metro. Yeah.
Here's the basic consensus I hear from around the web on Windows 8.
Yeah.
It's not like the end of the world or anything like that.
It's no Vista.
It signals a horrible change in direction from Microsoft. That's why Notch and Gabe are all mad, because it signals the end of an open platform.
Right.
But the problem that most people, especially tech-savvy people, have with it is that you have a lot less control and nothing works with anything else as far as like Metro. So if you open up like Internet Explorer in Metro, for instance, a whole different, if you open it up then in the classic desktop, it's like a whole different instance of it.
I hate having quick launch buttons on my taskbar, but I have to have a Chrome one so I don't have the Metro browser open, because that's just dumb. That's the only real gripe I have with it.
Yeah, but I think if you've read any of Ars Technica's coverage, they've covered pretty comprehensively the problems with a lot of the implementation right now. There's a clear dichotomy between the way Metro works and the way, you know, the quote unquote old way works, kind of the Windows 7 way. And it doesn't make, I don't think it makes any sense to a new user at all. And a lot of the Metro apps are simply less functioning than the Windows 7 versions
were. That's what I've read. Like, the apps are just flat out
bad. I like the Bank of America app. I'm not going to fucking use it instead of going to the website, but it's not so bad.
But
it's useful. Skype app's fucking terrible, by the way. That's the worst.
But the point is that they're going to be, because when Microsoft has done such a poor job integrating those two interfaces, you're going to have a lot of different tools like Classic Shell, and I'm sure in another couple months there will be another dozen apps like this, but that will help you basically turn Windows 8 into a Windows 7 lookalike, just with the improvements with like file copying and boot times and things
it's
like that.
Way faster, like a 5400 RPM hard drive will boot Windows 7, or will boot Windows 8 as fast as like an SSD boot Windows 7.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
There are also slight like gaming improvements that people have seen and benchmark improvements.
I would say those are hit and miss.
I've run a couple of timestamps. TF2 is actually slightly lower. Natural Selection 2 is 15-20% higher, and then every other game's about the same.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's not Vista, Scott. Like, it's not an abomination or anything like that.
I wasn't even
on
the Windows 8 hate train. The internet seemed so upset.
Well, it's
changed.
It's different.
Changed, but it's also
it's going backwards.
Yeah. It's completely unnecessary operating system. That's kind of the problem.
Right.
Windows 7 is great.
The problem I have with it is kind of forcing a UI on people that's pretty clearly trying to promote your closed system to make money off of your own App Store purchases. So yeah. I get their strategy, but it's not serving the best interests of their users, which is the fact that Windows is an open platform and you can put whatever you want on it. You can do whatever you want. You know, so I don't know. Well, it's going to take a few years to see if that matters. But in the meantime, if you get something with Windows, if you get Windows 8 or if you upgrade, because it's only like $15 in certain cases or $40, I think, at the max. If you upgrade, you know, just kind of understand what you're getting into, that you may have to go through some of these pains with kind of weird Metro apps.
Also, right now, not everything works with it. You should, most of your shit should work, but
I haven't had anything not work if that's.
But I have heard reports of that. So, but yeah, so it's not that bad. But so gaming news, and we're going to start off with something that I've been hearing about for a while, but there was never any news significant enough to really speak of more than this game is happening, and it's by the dude who made Wing Commander, who's a pretty big deal, Chris Roberts. In gaming lore, anyway.
Oh, I love lore.
Wow, dude.
That's all I want to say.
But Chris Roberts, who's the creator of Wing Commander and Freelancer, basically space flight, I don't know if sim's the right word, but space flight RPG, I would say, would be a better word for them. There were like full motion videos in Wing Commander and stuff, and it was like, wow. Because like,
that blew me.
That didn't really happen at the time.
Those were fucking the tits back in the day. Wing Commander.
Yeah. So, but basically, he wanted to make another Wing Commander game, but EA owns the IP, so he can't make another Wing Commander game. So he's making a game called Star Citizen, and there's a massive article on Ars Technica, which I will link in chat, about how he said he was kind of waiting for the PC to come to the right time and place to where he could make this game, because it's going to be PC only. There's only a few screenshots. It's being made on CryEngine 3, so it's going to look fantastic. He said normally he makes his own engines, but he wants to get it out sooner, so he's going to just tweak Crytek however he needs. So you can tell this guy is serious. Normally I make my own game engines, but...
Yeah. That's something he's giving in. He's like, oh, God, don't have time. Going to have to use someone else's.
When you look at how, when you look at all the stuff he's trying to put into this game, I mean, if he tries to make the engine too, this game will be out in 8 years or so.
Right.
Like, so he thinks it's probably a couple of years away, I think is what it said. Maybe even closer than that. But regardless, he made a site for Star Citizen, and he's kind of a known commodity, as I said, Wing Commander series. Yeah. And the site privately raised, like, not through Kickstarter or anything, privately raised $2.6 million for the game.
Yeah.
And then he did a Kickstarter, and they got $850,000 more from that.
That's up to $904,000
now. $904,000
now? And he apparently has private investment on top of that, too. So they got money.
He had been directing films, I guess, since his last game. So it's been a while. And basically he said that why he came back now is the tech had moved on enough to where I felt like I could do a whole different level of fidelity in terms of simulation of the world and visuals I could deliver on that. I was always very frustrated by that in the past. So he's basically saying PC hardware is at a point where he can do what he wants to do with a game like this. Now, what is Star Citizen going to be?
Ambitious as fuck. Is what it's going to be. Are you kidding? Anyway, go ahead. You can describe, and then let's...
So it's going to be an MMO, but that'll only be in, like, towns and star hubs, where you'll be with, like, thousands of people. The system he wants to put in, as far as battles, is if you're passing through space, and maybe three or four other people pass through that same quadrant, like, in the world, the giant universe that he's going to have, a battle may ensue on like a central type of server. So like not like a matchmaking system per se, but it would just be kind of by chance it would happen in this world. So that's one thing. It's going to be having the EVE Online kind of economy. He wanted that, which is ambitious in itself. Mm-hmm. That's that entire game. That's an entire other game.
I was going to say, comparing anything to EVE Online means it's going to be very ambitious.
Yeah. So he basically, I mean, it's going to be a flight sim though as well, which Wing Commander was. So you will have to have a lot of skill in flying your ship. So it's kind of insane how much control and that kind of thing you're going to have. It's going to require a pretty high-end system, he said, to run it at its full capabilities, which I don't doubt after playing Crysis 3 Alpha. Not that I can't mention much beyond that. But
My core is on CryEngine 2, it is on CryEngine 3 as well. Sorry, I didn't mean 2, the numeral 2. I think it'll probably be decently scalable, but, I mean, MMOs have never, like, traditionally, they can sometimes be performance hogs, especially in like central cities and that type of thing. So I don't know that there's never been an MMO on CryEngine, has there?
No. So we'll he said also, it's going to be run off the Guild Wars 2 style pay model, where you may pay like a AAA price up front for this game, given the amount of shit that's going to be in it. I wouldn't be surprised. But then you can do microtransactions maybe to get parts for your ship. But he said that.
Like Ubisoft.
There will be a.
Just kidding. Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, right? We'll get to that. But but he basically said there will be a per month real world currency cap. So, you can't just go out the first day you buy the game, spend $150, and
communism, non-free market system can't support this game. Done.
I feel like a lot of those decisions will end up. I'm not saying he's not like staunchly for or against what he's saying now, but the game is so far from launching that all that stuff does not matter.
Yeah.
Like that there is no way any of that is nailed down even remotely. So I wouldn't put any stock into that.
I do like what he says though, is how the game is skill based. So basically even if someone bought like all the best weapons for their ship, if they're shit at flying it and shit at doing things with it, they're still going to get crapped on by guy in the default ship if he's a better pilot. So
that's cool.
Basically, we brought this up because the article is really cool if you want to read it.
He's a little quote machine, too. I know. Yeah. He just and I was going to say one thing that's pretty interesting, I thought the most interesting part was when he talks about how they're going to deal with obviously the amount of players that they're trying to go for, how ambitious it is and all that stuff. This part of the article is like, unlike other MMOs where everything has to take place in an engine that can handle hundreds or thousands of people working on a single server, Robert says he considers the massively multiplayer portion of Star Citizen it's more an in-fiction matchmaking service, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I think what he means by that is that it's not going to be a traditional MMO server setup where everyone, I mean, literally in World of Warcraft, for instance, everyone on the world, like they may be on different pieces of hardware or something, but it's the same logical server. Whereas I think he may be saying that, you know, if you're in kind of the central area, that's sort of like a chat service almost, but the all the combat and everything is all instanced and isn't actually like in that same logical place. So right. I'm guessing maybe that may be how you have to build it on CryEngine. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about the technical details, but you may have to build it a certain way for CryEngine to support the kind of player base that he's talking about.
But definitely keep your eyes peeled on this game because it's only going to get bigger. He says he has other private funding as well to bring it up around a $10 million budget. So they're going to be able to do a lot of what they want to do. It's ambitious, though.
I'm almost afraid that this game is going to be like another Firefall. Like they have to pivot, you know, multiple times because they realize they can't hit all the targets they want to.
Given the clearly defined things in this article, I already have more hope.
True. I'm just saying they're promising so much. I'm hesitant to believe they're going to be able to get this level of depth in all these different areas. It sounds like a lot of ideas right now, and I think, you know, once they're 2 years down the line and they're like, wow, we only have this much, you know, I don't know. Maybe they can do it, but it seems very ambitious.
But keep your eyes on that, especially if you're interested in MMO and you haven't quite found one that you like, or you're interested in that combination of a game, which has all that in it. Definitely check out Star Citizen. So moving on to the next thing. It sucks that Scott got up to go to the bathroom.
Let's go to a different one then.
All right, yeah.
You can do Descent here.
Yes, Descent. So Descent, a classic PC game of... it's where you fly through mines. Actually, Hex played it on the first show he ever did. He played the old PC version of Descent. Very classic game. You fly through a mine, you upgrade your ship with weapons. But some ambitious modder out there, or indie dev, I guess, not even a modder, indie dev, has remade Descent in the Unreal 3 engine. It looks pretty awesome. I don't know. Yeah, it's experimental right now. So you can't really play it yet, but there is some video of it. And this game kind of died with Descent 2. So basically, check it out. It's pretty cool. Hex had a lot of fun with this game. And it looks pretty cool. So Unreal 3, Descent, bringing an old game back.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat. It definitely is very reminiscent of the original game. So if you've ever played Descent, like you would probably want to play this.
So, yeah, definitely check it out. And now that Scott's back, we'll move on to the first of two scary game articles.
You had to wait till I got back. Yeah, about Amnesia Bay of Pigs trailer. Great.
Bay of Pigs.
That was the whole JFK deal.
It's crazy.
Machine for Pigs.
Yeah.
Bay of Pigs.
So Amnesia, Machine for Pigs. New trailer came out right around Halloween there, of course. Why wouldn't it?
Intentional.
God, okay, so it starts slowly just showing some environments in this trailer. And then
it starts out with a creepy VO of a god.
Yes.
Little girl.
This
sounds
little
like.
Piggy went to market. Yeah.
That's like a trend lately. I think in Dead Space, it was Dead Space 1 or 2, they had Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah. Yeah, it's creepy, man.
Yeah, that's because
little kids in horror games
saying anything is horrifying.
Yeah. When you're about to get murdered.
So let me just say before I watch the whole thing, I like watch the first half and the second half. I watch it like this. But the first half, I was like, "Oh, this isn't that bad." I was like, "What? This isn't that terrifying." And then they went to gameplay, and I was like, "Are you kidding me? This is fucking terrible."
That guy's hiding in the cages and stuff. I was like, "That was hard to watch." Just hard to watch.
I was like,
"So it's gonna have the amnesia type things, obviously, where you're completely helpless. I mean, you can't really attack." He goes down into that area with the pens. And then all of a sudden you hear the pigs or whatever the hell it is.
It's the horrifying sound, whatever it is that's making.
Yeah.
It's like I actually acting for that game.
Yeah, Nick Fenton's squeals over it.
But then the credits. It
cuts to the voiceover at the end, and I put it as a quote under the video because I thought the line was so good. Because the one guy is like, I don't know if it's one of the... main characters. I think one of them is the guy you play as, but I'm not sure. He's like, but how could such a machine exist? You know, there's not enough pigs in the whole of London to power such a machine. And then the other guy goes, that all rather depends, Professor, on what one considers to be a pig.
So good.
So obviously we're feeding people into this machine. God
it's
damn.
So creepy. It's so creepy.
I mean, if you've never played Amnesia, go check it out sometime.
Don't keep your mind
away from that shit. So, obviously, Scott will be playing this at some point on a live stream. but this only next game charity, actually maybe. Is even more terrifying, I think.
Yes.
Just simply because of the of the environment that it is in. So this next game is also another survival horror game. And it's called Outlast.
A really good idea. That hasn't been done.
And so the team behind this game, I just linked in chat, the team behind Outlast is something to get excited about. So these guys have worked on Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, Assassin's Creed 1, Uncharted, and Splinter Cell. So these guys have some pedigree making Outlast. Basically, the concept is you're a journalist recording your experiences with a camera, which is a slightly new mechanic, wandering through this insane asylum.
Oh, God.
And
the atmosphere is really good,
too. Yeah, the only way to see, and the way it takes, and you're helpless like Amnesia. You're not, you know, you're not a super soldier or something. You're helpless like Amnesia, and the only way to see in certain parts is to use the camera, the night vision camera, so it, like, takes control away from you. You can walk with it, but it's like walking with a camera in real life. So if you're looking into it, you know, you'd be kind of, you know, out of control as far as what was happening around you. And, good God, dude. It's got all the...
trailer was awful, too. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. So...
I like the mechanic. That's a cool mechanic that they haven't... I mean, that seems easy. Like, they should have, like, someone should have come out with a game like this earlier with the whole forcing you to use, like, infrared and be totally helpless and, like, knowing you're going into a pitch black room. And when you turn on that, kind of like they did it in, what is that mod? Cry of Fear? The beginning,
the very beginning.
Pictures.
I thought that
it's
was
just goddamn awful. Yeah. It's really well done, but it's kind of like that all the time almost because you got to turn that on in really black spaces.
When he turns on the camera, there's like a slight delay of the night vision coming on, like there would be in real life. Dude, that's going to be the worst for jumps because they're just going to put shit in there when the camera power's on.
Like, dude, this is just inviting like tons of awful jump scares.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I hope they don't resort to being jump scares. Really.
Just the whole
Some
thing.
Jump scares are okay, but overall it's got to be good environment. And everything.
Yeah, the reason the reason Amnesia works is because the entire environment is just creepy
Dread.
The whole time.
Yeah.
So this looks like that as well. And plus you can hear your character like gasping for air and like he is scared, you can tell. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks neat.
So check that out. It's due out next year. That's really all we have as far as, you know, release date or anything like that, but definitely check that out. And now we come to what could be a mini rant, but we're moving along time wise here. Goddamn Ubisoft, you just can't stop. You just can't stop. You had won back all this goodwill with me. I wrote this article, so that's why I'm talking in the first person. Because I was like all excited because Assassin's Creed 3 looks really good, and I'm still excited. I'm definitely still going to buy it. But this, I still have a problem with this, and it is totally. There were people in the comments on my article who were like, well, this is totally voluntary. And I was like, yes, it is. But the fact is that what's going to happen with this game, you're going to get Assassin's Creed 3 for $60 or whatever you're going to pay for it. Then there will probably be DLC. I don't know if there was for the other ones, but there will probably
be DLC. Guaranteed.
There's been DLC for all of them, I think.
They probably have a whole separate,
maybe not the first one.
DLC right now. Yeah.
There will be DLC, so you're paying, you know, let's call it 4 packs or something at $15 a pop. Just call it that. $60 on top of the $60 you already spent. Then you're like, man, I like playing the multiplayer, but I don't really have the time to level up in it, because I guess it has a prestige system and shit like Call of Duty, at least this one does. You can pay an extra about $15 to $20 to unlock everything in the multiplayer, like all the weapons, all the costumes. It's just like...
Didn't they have that in Battlefield? I know they had it in Bad Company 2. I don't know if they had it on Battlefield 3. They had something similar.
Wait, what?
But it's just like...
Where you can unlock stuff? I'm pretty sure they had that in Bad Company 2.
Really? Bad Company 2 didn't have any way to pay to unlock stuff.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Maybe it,
was
it did,
all,
on, it
it
did
was,
on Xbox.
It was, okay, listen.
what are you playing a Battlefield on Xbox for?
Okay, listen.
See? Lucky 206. You can pay. Shortcut kits. Oh, look at me.
There you go. It wasn't there.
Wow.
But regardless, Ubisoft, by the way, Ubisoft has taken all their DRM off of the PC titles. I just bought 3 Assassin's Creed games the other day, so, and none of them have Uplay or any extra logins on them anymore.
Dan, does this totally, because taking all your, basically admitting that you've had a system that's been flawed for years, and taking all that shit off is a pretty big move. So have they lost goodwill?
No, not all goodwill. It's just kind of like...
Yeah, it's annoying, though.
Really,
I agree.
Really, dude?
Yeah,
like,
it's unneeded.
I'm trying to think of like a real life example for this, like your friend cleans up his act, and then like you go to the bar and he like does something really stupid. And you're like, dude, come on. Come on, man! Like,
dude,
That's what it's like. Because it also, we had to make an epic Photoshop with all the money in the field. But basically, it's all shortcuts to stuff. But it's just like Ubisoft. You're already. I just don't like this trend of, and it's every game now. You know, you got Call of Duty with, you know, 17 DLC packs, and they're all $15 each. It's just like,
it comes
this
down,
is my freedom.
It comes down to what you said. It comes the best part of the article was the end where you said, when I stopped reading it. No, I'm just kidding. It's really. just kidding, Dad. It's really quite simple. Where you said, if you want microtransactions, go free to play and take away the $60 price tag. If you want to have $60 price tag, don't insult us by adding microtransactions and calling them the new way. It's just, it's the way it looks to us. Yeah. We're not dumb. It's another way of Ubisoft thinking that gamers are like we're not going to pick up on that or not get annoyed by that kind of thing.
If you're so invested into the Assassin's Creed multiplayer, you're just dumb. Well, I'm going to call you dumb.
Yeah, you are
dumb. I'm just
going to
call you dumb.
Well, that's the thing that makes me mad, though, is because you know that multiplayer is not really the point of the game. It's like there may be some people that really enjoy the multiplayer aspect.
It's not bad.
But it's not the centerpiece, right? The centerpiece is like the story and the single player experience.
Yeah.
So adding this to your multiplayer just seems so unnecessary because it's like, really, if I'm going to play the multiplayer, I don't expect it to be like this free to play type thing where I either have to grind out to enjoy the multiplayer or pay extra to unlock everything without grinding. Like that is the free to play model. Stop trying to monetize multiplayer customers. You've already gotten $60.
I didn't mention this in the article, but Ubisoft, right after they dropped all the DRM, the same guy who said that, you know, in that same quote that we highlighted a while ago where he said 95% of PC users are pirates.
Oh yeah.
They basically said they're moving to free to play, like that's where they're going. Well, if you wanted to move, like just don't make me pay AAA prices and stack other shit. That was my point.
Right.
So it's just not cool. Like I said, I'm still gonna buy.
And also, if this was done by any other company than Ubisoft, which just took all the DRM off of their shit, we wouldn't have even probably talked about it. But it's because it's Ubisoft, and we fucking.
It's a hot button issue. It should be with PC gamers in general. So next thing here is Black Mesa devs, guys we talked about earlier, basically saying that discouraging mods doesn't make any sense, and we've talked about this before, because look at this. Now, granted, this is a skin over Half-Life 2, not Half-Life 1, but basically you just, you know, adding life to your game is never a negative.
No.
And I don't get these. They don't get it, and we don't get it, so I'm not sure. Like, these fans, it's not as if modding is, like, the easy thing to do. Modders are not, you know, they're not sitting there just, you know, skinning over the whole game or something.
No.
It's hard work. I mean, you got to code new stuff in. This Black Mesa, for instance,
took them years.
So I just don't understand. I'm with them. We've said this before, but I'm with them. There's been some companies who have sued modders for modding their games and things like that. Why be openly hostile to modders? It just doesn't make any sense. All you do is do what Killing Floor does and just extend the life of your game by years and years and years.
Right.
And of course,
or DayZ, the ultimate example.
DayZ, the ultimate example. So,
I don't. Yeah, there has to be another. We have to be missing something here. I mean, I agree because the people that make games are also right. They want the closed system. I guess competition. Maybe they're worried about. I don't know though. Still, even that doesn't make any sense.
No, like Arma 2 just made like several million dollars from DayZ.
Yeah,
so
it's true,
but. So it would be great to see more games. Like, even COD 4, the last quote-unquote open Call of Duty, has some amazing mods in it, some really fun stuff. They're present in a lot of other games, like Zombies and Death Run and things like that, but they're fun. First game I ever played with Nick Fenton was some Zombies on COD 4.
Mm. Oh, that's so nice that you remember.
Yeah, you and all Sham Noel. But... So, yeah, support your modders, guys. It's a good thing. I just don't understand. Yeah, Star Wars Galactic Warfare. That's an excellent example that I did not mention.
Modders end up, I mean, a lot of people put a lot of time into making mods, and you never know what you're going to get out of it. You never know what might breathe new life into your game a few years down the line. I mean, because a lot of people like that Galactic Warfare mod is a perfect example.
So good.
You know, that guy's not making any money off that. Like, he's not.
I mean, he's getting his ass sued by goddamn whoever owns Star Wars, now Disney, I guess.
But it's just crazy the amount of work someone will put in for free. And I've heard a lot of these kinds of cries from the Tribes community, because since Tribes Ascend is free to play, there's no moddability. And there are people in that community that would love to dig in and mod Tribes Ascend and have kind of a new age Tribes modding scene. But, you know, Hi-Rez is just one of many companies that, you know, is not supporting that.
And they're just not supporting Tribes, period. Anyway,
that's a whole separate story.
It's all about the MOBAs now.
Yep. This last story is something that I really wanted to do because I know there's a lot of people out there who have wondered, and I know Garrettson has answered a lot of these questions in his older YouTube videos. He hasn't done a video in months, but regardless, he has some great videos about getting into games, and I know a lot of you would like to get into this industry one way or another, but if you're on the more creative side, PC Gamer recently came out with a great article. I'm going to link it in the chat once again, and obviously, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, all the links will be in the post, called The Indies Guide to Game Making, and what it is basically they took and sat down with a few indie developers and went over five different engines that you can kind of dig into for not all of them are free, but most of them are cheaper, especially if you're willing, if you want to learn, then you won't care about spending, you know, $50 on Unreal. But they highlight Unity, which is I don't know. It's not older, but it's really, really popular right now, Unity. It is free unless you make $100,000 off the game you make. Mm. Then you have to pay them a little bit of royalty. But and there's a pro version that's like $1,000, but you don't really need the free or the pay version. So
Unity is what Offensive Combat and shit's made with, right?
I believe so. They highlight for the Awesome, which I have that game on Steam. But basically, Unity looks like a level editor when you open it up, and it's pretty simple to use, and you can just like do really basic stuff pretty quickly. What they do in this article too, which is really cool, is kind of ask these developers, what kind of a learning curve does this engine have? So if you're looking to get into this, I would highly recommend reading this and checking it out. So they highlight Unity, and then they also highlight Adventure Game Studio, which is more for like not 2D adventure games, but more adventure games in general. And then RPG Maker, which should be self-explanatory as to what that's for. RPG Maker, basically you can make top-down 2D RPGs a la Legend of Zelda, that kind of thing. They said in that, speaking with the guys in that one in RPG Maker, they said that basically you could get a combat system and small map running in a half an hour with no prior knowledge. Jeez. So some of these are pretty easy to use. And then Game Maker is another one, and Game Maker is primarily for basically 2D platformers, like Super Meat Boy. Spelunky is the example in the article. The PC Gamer article, they talked to the guys who made Spelunky. All that kind of thing. Again, with all these engines, a big plus is having some programming experience, but a lot of them have really, really easy-to-use interfaces. Unreal is, of course, the last one they highlight. And I think all of these are free or have a free version, except Unreal, which is like basically $60.
I know how to do shit in Unreal, so it's not too hard at all.
Rick Leslie does shit in Unreal, yes. So how hard can
it's
it be?
It's easy as shit.
But I actually watched Rick using the level editor in Unreal and like replacing textures and stuff, and placing spawns and like actually that stuff is like you just kind of click on what you want and then you put it in. So it's pretty cool. And then you skin over it with the art. So if you want to get into that kind of shit, I would definitely, definitely take a look at that article and take a look at Jared's old videos. The game industry is pretty damn cool from the little taste that I've had. So it's definitely, definitely a cool thing to get into. So if you have some drive behind it, and especially if you're, as Garrettson said, if you're in high school or college right now and have free time, just start screwing around in these engines because you'll be better for it in the future and you'll be able to use that experience.
Yeah, if you have free time, that's a great experience to have, especially since this stuff does not, in most cases, does not cost that much money to just download and try out. Right. So,
all right, guys. Well, that is the news for this week.
And now it's time for Twitter questions with the KB Mod Podcast.
So the first Twitter question comes from at 762. With the upcoming release of the no doubt blockbuster hit Black Ops 2, it will be a blockbuster hit. It will sell millions of copies. Will this make or break the franchise on PC? I think it does, actually. They'll still put out Modern Warfare 4 for PC. But I think this really, like, because Modern Warfare 3 was universally, even by people who still play it, like Orb, pretty much is like, this is pretty subpar compared to other games. So
I don't think it's make or break simply because there are so many people on console at this point that will buy anything that says Call of Duty on it.
Well, no, he says make or break the franchise on PC.
I know, but what I'm saying is I think they'll still continue. Like, I think it depends on what you mean by make or break. I think it'll still be a financial success on every platform it goes to because there are a lot of people on PC that will buy it simply because their friend bought it. And, you know, it's like, when there are more people, the more people that buy it, the more people that buy it because more people are buying it. It's like it's a network effect because it all is. Your friends are playing it.
If it ends up being bad on PC and you don't come out discouraged, you probably are just a lost cause. Hopefully it's good, though.
I think it'll be, well, despite
this
all the
stuff. This is their last shot for me. I mean, I'm not going to buy it on day one.
I'm definitely not buying whatever the next Infinity Ward game is, regardless if it's going to be good on PC or not.
Infinity Ward's dead, like Treyarch, as I've said this a million times, Black Ops is freaking good.
Treyarch actually tries to change things. Like, you can't really change a thing like Call of Duty dramatically because then you're just going to have like thousands and thousands of little kids very angry.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not little kids. That's a stereotype.
There's no sway up snipers, dude. That's all I know.
Wow, dude. Get more racist, Nicholas. Did I stun Brandon to silence for the first time?
No. The question does not really. I'm taking it in a different direction, but yeah. I think at this point, it's either Call of Duty is already.
One gives a fuck about.
This is not a make or break. This is not a make or break decision. Like, you already know what you're getting with Call of Duty, and you know, a lot of us, myself included, I've had enough of Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 3 was a purchase I regretted, and I have more than enough stuff to play that I don't need Call of Duty. So it's already broken.
Wow. Brandon's just too good for Call of Duty now.
I mean, mark my words. I do not plan to buy it.
The analogy I would use too with how focused they are worried about PC sales of Call of Duty when it's on three platforms on console, which is their bread and butter, is like if you have a bucket of sand and all the grains, and there's like 10 of those grains are what they're worried about what it does on PC, and all the other grains, which are millions, are what they're worried about what it does on console. That's a really weird analogy. They don't get
remotely worried about Black Ops 2. No. I think 10 grains is generous.
I think 10 grains, maybe one.
Well, I think that whatever little care Treyarch does give, they still give more care than Infinity.
Oh, yeah, well, clearly. Yeah, definitely.
So there's that. But if you're going to buy Call of Duty, you're going to buy Call of Duty. I mean, there's no...
I think Black Ops 2 is going to be really good.
I think it's going to be decent, because it's...
I have faith in the people working on it, so...
So, next question is an esports question. At Big Man
Nipples.
This
is maybe the best question. Actually, this is one of the best questions we've read in recent... Go ahead, Dan. So good.
Predictions of what you think is inside Peter Molyneux's cube, and do you think it will become a big esport?
I think it's definitely an esports title. I want to hear some astral listen-ins for these cube.
Matt. He's chipping away here. Big Octopecs.
Big Octopecs. is that how shoutcasting goes? You just say Big Octopecs between
I don't know.
Between everything.
Going to bombs.
I just
big well, I would actually keep,
goes we'll, from we'll, predictions of what you we'll think will it be an e-sport. It's a new MOBA. It's a new MOBA.
Shoutcasting video of APL shoutcasting.
It doesn't matter because the cube game will be murdered by MOBAs. It'll be killed by MOBAs.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. Rest in peace. Yes. Rest in peace. Cubes. Cubes are dead as a genre. All
right. It might go to the fighting game community. You never know.
Halo 4 gets 15,000 concurrent in MLG, and it's still not good enough because League of Legends has 150,000.
Don't get me started.
I know. We get Nick ranting again. People can't be happy that Halo has 15,000, which is an impressive number.
Street Fighter was there.
Yeah, what
did yeah.
Street Fighter do? How was that?
Didn't even put it on stream. Didn't even put
Evo,
it on stream.
Evo gets 100K, though, so fighting games are still doing very well.
They do well unto themselves. That's like kind of that's the only issue with fighting games, is that like there's no sort of crossover with that
Halo got,
but anyway.
They don't want one. They fucking hate esports.
No, they do. Actually, that's true. But next question from Red Baron TV. If you were set for life monetarily, what would you spend your time doing?
Traveling.
Yeah, and I think that's...
I would travel initially, but realistically what I would do is probably learn to make games.
Yeah.
Not a bad call.
Not even to make money so much, is just because it's something I would...
I feel like after traveling for so long, you get sick of being in like a plane or something because that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
I want to go on a road trip.
Like, I want to buy an RV. And helped with some stuff with like the original Deus Ex multiplayer and Unreal and stuff. So like I've learned how to mod some things like 10 years ago. And like even back then, you know, I was like, this is something that would be fun as shit. I don't think I'd like to do it for a living because working for the man and meeting the deadlines would suck. But it'd just be something fun to do.
Yeah, I think I would still sit in front of a computer. I would probably...
Yeah,
honestly, I would probably do what I do now.
I would do what I do now just all the time. Like, my weekends would just be
imagine your life without going to work.
Yeah. I'd have 40 hours more of, you know...
Yeah.
Still time.
In front of Domo, I'd just have, like, a stack of hundreds. I'd just be like, that would be... It would be the exact same.
I would melt my money down into a liquid and have a sweet, sweet water cooling system. It actually just pumps $100 bills through the tubes.
Make a computer case out of gold bricks.
Yeah.
There you go. All kinds of projects.
Pretty sure gold cannot withstand the heat of having. Well, anyway, that's a whole other argument.
Hey, you know what? I would have a channel like MaxaShine where you just unbox like crazy, crazy expensive video cards and just everything that comes out.
You have so much when you're like unboxing Lamborghinis. you're putting Lamborghinis in large cardboard boxes to unbox them.
That would actually be hysterical.
That is
the box like covered in Cuban, the box is covered in leather.
Brandon would just buy more mufflers. Yeah. Just fill his home up with mufflers. He'll put a muffler on his exhaust fan on his computer case and then he'll be fucking screaming.
You were pro 91.
Gatman raises a very good point. He would buy everything from SkyMall.
Yes, that's a fantastic idea.
You have a catalog of the most useless stuff ever.
Actually, yeah, if I had infinite money, no doubt on my mind, I would buy much shit.
How hilarious would it be if you had so much money you could just hand the SkyMall to the stewardess and be like, all of it. I want all of it.
Dirk Deadeye just said nobody can afford everything in SkyMall. Nobody.
That's true.
Even Bill Gates, they're like, you can't afford this.
Pretty sure they sell more.
Like everything in this shit catalog. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You can't afford that.
You hand them like a Visa Black card and they're like, no. That's not gonna.
I would just like do unboxing videos of money. Yeah. Just like put my money in a box and just unbox it.
Over and over
what do we have in here? $3 million cash.
That it's money.
Oh, it's this week. It's more money. I don't know how this keeps
this
happening.
This time I did it in $5 bills. Here's $1 million in five. Oh, 20s. 100. People just learn to hate you.
Money, let's play.
This next question is from one of the great Twitter handles we've ever received. At Big Gulps, huh? Are any of you doing No Shave November? Yes.
Sure.
I could do all of No Shave November, and then I would still look the exact same at 720p resolution. You wouldn't be able to tell.
I had the
fucking worthless piece of shit when he relates his image to an actual pixel size.
I'm just saying, it would have to be higher resolution. You look at yourself in a picture, you're like, man, I don't.
Yeah.
This is not a 1080p photo.
I was going to do.
What resolution is this mirror?
I had like a. Earlier this week, I had a Nick Fenton pedo stash going on, and I literally was getting so many looks and comments that I shaved it. I was like, this is
just
not worth it.
Stop caring. Like, no, when I got these new glasses, I spent like a day like worrying what people would think about me combined with the stash, and then I just stopped caring. I was like, I don't care. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me.
Let's be honest. You stopped caring before that.
Yeah. I'm actually. I'm going like hardcore on a mustache soon. Like, not gonna make it.
Start growing your summer camp stash now.
Mm. Well, no, I'm gonna like fully groom this thing. I'm getting a mustache comb and everything. God. Like, I'm gonna
mustache perm for summer camp, and I will come.
Perm. That. You're gonna be a regular Nigel Thornberry.
I'm going the Dutchy DC.
Like, Danny, perm your fucking stash.
Perm your fucking stash.
Even perm his fucking stash.
Yeah, so...
Yonkers is the only song by Tyler, the Creator.
Anyway. Wyatt Earp stash going on.
Here. Yeah.
Probably. Soon enough. So this next question was one of the hardest ones to answer we've ever gotten. I don't know what the answer is going to be. Yeah, if you want to ask
Here's the question.
Who's it from?
From...
The name is...
XX54777. And the question is... Movies? That's 42. That's a question.
42. That's the answer. Yep. Yeah, that's the question. Movies. Question.
Movies.
Good talk.
Movies?
Movies?
Movies.
Movies. Say it in the Ross Geddes accent.
Movies!
This next question, I gotta go with this one. Nicholas Narsa asks, how do I explain to my girlfriend that it's her fault that I jack off? If your fucking girl has a problem with you masturbating, you need to punch her in her fucking vagina and leave. Just leave.
If she confronts you about it, you ask her, you say, do you know who I am? I'm Ross Geddes.
Punch her in her face, dude. If she has a problem with masturbation, that's not the girl for you.
Do you know who I am?
I'm Ross Geddes.
Do you know who I am, woman?
Stop. Hey! I'm Ross Geddes. Brandon's dying. Brandon's crying laughing.
Oh, God. And she'll know. That's how you assert your dominance to your girlfriend. You tell her that you're Ross Geddes, and then she'll be done.
Give her the old 1-2 to the badge, as John said.
Do it as you're punching her in the vagina.
Yeah.
I'm Ross Geddes!
Stop it, Nick.
Brandon actually went to hurl. Brandon grabbed his pants.
God.
And then
sniff some planks.
Brandon just went to punch his girlfriend. Did you go to punch your girlfriend?
Brandon, you didn't actually have to go punch Hillary, dude.
Stop. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, kill me.
Good talk.
At My Who's Clack asks, if you could have any pet in any color, what pet and what color?
Any pet.
I'd have a purple
from George of the Jungle, but purple.
Any pet.
Purple is a sweet color.
Purple is sweet. I don't care. People are like, that's a girl color. No. Prince. That's not a good argument because Prince was very
flamboyant. Prince is one of the most non-masculine pop song figures the last 100 years.
I think dark purple is a sweet color.
I would either get a purple corgi, or a purple Nick Fenton.
Mm. You can have me.
I would like a neon green dolphin.
Wow.
It's really specific.
This is clearly in John's infinite money world.
I was going to say, are we combining questions here?
I would build a shark. If I was wealthy, I'd build a shark tank in my home.
Wouldn't it be a dolphin tank?
I would have dolphins and sharks, and I would let the dolphins kill the sharks.
Like Flipper?
Yeah, because that's just what dolphins do. They just God, the shit out of sharks all the time. Fuck sharks.
Oh, I would, Domo in some sort of color is also a good possibility. I would take Domo as
a pet. Get a dog that legitimately, well, this is any pet and any color, I would get a dog that could legitimately stay like a German Shepherd puppy size, never grew older, was but eternally.
It's just a cute puppy.
I don't even care forever. About the color, just a cute puppy for life. Yeah. And never
but aged. It has to learn how to get potty trained and shit.
Yeah, it knows how to do all that stuff, but it's just that size and looks exactly the same. Totally down with that.
What about my corgi puppies?
Same since she was born.
Do you remember that live stream of the corgi puppies, Scott?
Oh, stop.
I watched it for like an hour.
It's so cute.
It was I sat and watched corgis puppies sleeping for at least 20 minutes.
I know.
I was like, oh my God, it's lifting its paw. Oh my God.
On Skype, you'd be like, look, look, look. And they would just be fighting over a piece of paper. And we'd be like, oh my God.
All right. Next is at Sage the Elephant. If you had to get a tramp stamp, what would it be of? Mine would be of the Nick Fenton in the blanket gif. But obviously not moving.
You want a moving tattoo?
That would be amazing.
Oh, maybe actually. It's like when you flex a muscle, like it moves, but it's like it's you can flex your lower back.
So apparently, bulging disc.
I'm putting mine in chat. That'd be my tramp stamp.
Oh God, it's a Blobs 2 logo. What do you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Black Ops 2 logo. Faux show.
Did you put Gamma? Did you put Gamma?
I'd sponsored by Gamma Labs would be on there too.
Sponsored by Gamma Labs.
I don't know what I would get a tramp stamp. Probably like a unicorn.
I would get a tramp stamp of Nick Fenton's face.
I was going to say, I would get a tramp stamp of High Res Bart's face with his sunglasses on.
High Res Bart, yeah. High Res Twitch face. High Res Bart's Twitch face.
Oh, Bart.
All right, this next one.
Hold on, I didn't say mine yet. I'm posting.
Oh. Hold on. Well, you're not going to say it. You're going to paste it.
I'm going to post it and go to 37 seconds, and that was what would be on my lower back. God, but you could watch from 35 for the epic camera transition.
I would get the face that you had
that's
before.
That's the one that Grant's talking about. Yeah. That's what I would do for it.
Dude, if you watch this video, you can like see Nick laughing internally. His whole body just jerks with laughter, but he doesn't.
Because Scott is in his chair holding his webcam up like this, and he's like, it's like, all right, we're gonna start. All right, 3, 2.
I was trying to produce and direct this, and Nick can't
holding a webcam like this. He's like, action, and I'm like, I'm trying to take it seriously, and.
Nick, you are literally the one. You could not keep a straight face for a second while we're trying to shoot a serious production. Just out of control.
Scott is like, it's at his face. He's sitting there holding his camera like this, making faces. And I'm sitting there watching him, and he's like,
God.
Awful.
Anyway. All right. What's the next one?
So, Harvey Roy asks, would you rather fight a based version of Godzilla with dildos for hands? Or the or is so tremendous. Or 100.
What? I just read it.
Or 100 gypsies in Adidas tracksuits. All of whom toke.
You could have just said 100 gypsy. You probably could have just said 100 gypsy chavs. That probably would have been shorter. Yeah. Chavs are all, they all wear Adidas track boots and toke.
The phrasing is just the best.
All of whom toke.
All of whom toke in parentheses to really sell it.
That means they give no fucks, these gypsies. They give no fucks. However, Godzilla in this case also is based. So I
would go with 100 gypsies in Adidas tracksuits, all of whom have toke. And then I dress in an Adidas tracksuit and try and become one of their own. Like a Jane Goodall of the gypsy chavs.
You're saying gypsy chavs are gorillas. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I would be. It's an analogy. I'd be the Jane Goodall of the gypsy chavs. This is how I have a diary. I could blog about it.
I don't know why it took me so long to get through eat his tracks.
Oh, just can't get through the Olufim toke. It's just
going on.
So brilliant.
It's just got this mental image of like 100 of the dudes from the movie Snatch. The Pikeys from Snatch. Jesus. All high as fuck.
Oh, though. Man! There's a Chav on the stream. Oi,
there
what's
we go. John's getting his Adidas. His Adidas tracksuit going.
Oi, what you doing over here? What you doing, eh? You get like, your choke up, yeah?
Do they have matching shoes?
Oh, God.
I put on my Adidas tracksuit.
The tracksuit's right there.
You gonna speak Scouse? You gonna speak Scouse to us?
Huh? All right. That's a great question. Okay. At your mom's Big Chode asks, pay attention. If you could either have Bill Gates' fortune or make world peace, if you could either have Bill Gates' fortune or make world peace, what color would your Lambo be?
Should ask Brandon. He's the one that does the Lambo unboxings.
How did we get such a good batch of Twitter questions, dude? It's because it's episode 67. That's why.
Yeah.
The president is black and Lambo is blue.
God.
If I had that much money, if I had Bill Gates' fortune, I would get a fucking clear Lamborghini.
Yeah.
It would just be clear.
You get the spectrum of
that would be dope, dude. Clear would be.
You could get a clear car.
Yeah.
Oh, like one of those see-through like N64 controllers?
Dude.
Yeah, those are all. Yeah. Clear is that's the winner. God, I would go clear too. Color. Yeah. John wins. I don't have
it. All right.
Like action.
This next question is from at the Rumpled Foreskin. I mean, there
with
that
a four,
is right
with
there.
A four. By the way,
yeah, numeral four.
Numeral four.
What game are you most excited about within the next year? So like now until. Quarter four next year.
Team Fortress 2.
Whatever updates there are for Team Fortress 2.
Probably, I would have to honestly say Bioshock Infinite.
Yep. I agree. Yeah. I would say Halo 4, but it's like right here. So
it's not here yet. This makes it now.
There's no need to be excited anymore. Okay. I know it's coming. I am at a realization. Bioshock Infinite.
I would say GTA 5, but I don't think it's going to come out on PC. So
they've said they'll come out. It'll be late. They're focusing on the console versions, is what they've said. So that's a
mine would be Watch Dogs. That game looks phenomenal.
I'll go with GTA still. I'm excited about it. I love 4. So
that or maybe Metro Last Light.
Ooh, it's another good
one. We answered a question similar to this not long ago, but I would say probably SimCity, as much as I'm conflicted about EA's always online stuff. Either SimCity or I think I had to actually look up like some of the upcoming games in 2013 to answer this question appropriately. But I think Elder Scrolls Online is supposed to be coming out in 2013, maybe by Q4. So in that case, that would potentially be my most anticipated.
Honorable Metters with Fighter? no. Watch Dogs is looking so good, man.
Yeah,
I think we're forgetting.
Or maybe even DayZ standalone, especially if we're talking about the DayZ standalone in Q4 next year, which will probably be really polished.
Someone just say Lucius, and it's already out. I don't know if that's
a troll out.
Or they don't. Maybe they don't know.
Or Brink 2, as the chat points out, would be the obvious.
Has that been confirmed?
Marf of Hozonner with Fighter 2. I don't know. All right, this next question is from the Mr. Flux. Another just gem.
Jeez.
On fire tonight, gentlemen. If you had to have a threesome with two presidents of the United States, who would they be?
Oh, my God.
I think there's one obvious answer for one of them. It's one obvious answer. Bill Clinton.
Oh, you're going to say Bill.
Bill Clinton is in this threesome.
Bill Clinton.
That man knows his sex. So he'll give you a good time, at least. You know that. Ooh, JFK. Yes, those are the obvious threesome, I think. Could go with the Roosevelts. They're related. That's weird.
I think you go for double beard action. I think you go for double beard action. You go for Ulysses S. Grant and Lincoln.
I'm going with Grant Washington because wooden teeth are just really great to me. That seems really attractive. And Taft, because dying in a bathtub is just great.
Sean Taft ass.
See, Sean knows what's up. Get some bathtub action with Taft.
for those who don't know, in the stream or on the audio version, President Taft died because he was so damn fat.
In his bathtub, wasn't it on his inauguration day too?
Think so. Yeah, I think so. Epic. So
George W. Bush and FDR in a wheelchair. Ruthless back.
FDR oh, goodness.
That's just. I'm not, right, even comfortable saying. I'm not even comfortable saying that, Kim, because he's so such a. Richard Nixon. I don't.
So, I'm actually going to eliminate that one just because the next one's kind of in it too. At Darkwing02, this is the final Twitter question tonight. We've gone long tonight, but whatevs. At Darkwing02, who's also a huge, huge donator to our Child's Play and Extra Life streams. So shout out to
him at QuakeCon. Great dude.
Do you have a favorite villain from any video game, movie, or book?
G-Man. From villain wise,
is he a villain?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he's presented as a that's true. Maybe not the tradition.
Very ambiguous in Half-Life 2. In Half-Life 1,
and
he's clearly,
but he's creepy, and you don't know much about him, and I don't know. So I would go with him. I'm trying to think. Okay, true villain. I'll have to think about it.
I'm actually gonna go with one that's not kind of a show, Apocalypse from X-Men.
Mine's gonna be fucking weird. Yeah. Bellatrix Lestrange from Harry Potter.
Huh. Mm.
Fucking,
right.
She's so good at that role. That role
is
so good at it.
Bellatrix.
Helena Bonham Carter. She's a beast.
Mm.
I'm going Apocalypse.
I'm going with the Joker, like across all of them. Like Heath Ledger, like comic book. All the different iterations of the Joker are just cool to me. Yep. They're all different somehow, but they're still awesome.
Handsome Jack. Tons of shout outs to Handsome Jack.
Yeah, yes, definitely a recent villain.
That's Space Godzilla with dildos for hands. Obviously a really bad one.
Jeez.
What about you, Brandon?
I don't know. I don't know. It's tough.
Lucius from Lucius. Fair enough.
Oh, man. Maybe go with what are the two villains from Pokemon?
Jesse and James.
There you go.
From Team Rocket. Blasting off again.
GLaDOS. How have we not mentioned GLaDOS?
GLaDOS is good.
Yeah, that's
But GLaDOS saved. Oops, spoiler.
Wow. Okay, dude. Great. Wow.
All right. Didn't that come out in 2009? I think it's.
She did play Marlon Singer.
When did that? 2010? 2010.
Dude,
I think.
Everyone in the chat's freaking out now. You just ruined it for them.
Spoilers, dude. But Team Rocket getting
eliminated.
Right,
if you haven't played Portal 2 by now, wow, Portal 2 came out in 2011. Wow, it feels so long ago.
Wow, 2009.
2009.
You even calendar?
Like, I don't even know I don't have an understanding of time. I'm actually a time wizard. I'm a time lord. But,
man, Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. Not bad.
There's so many good ones. I mean, this is like the most open ended. I mean, there's so many good.
I think comic book villains have always been the best ones to me because they're so like, they're so good. I mean, like the Watchmen. Shout out to Daleks. Yeah, shout out
Andrew
to Daleks.
Ryan from BioShock.
That's
strong. Yeah,
strong.
Prick, Peter Molyneux. Judge Dredd, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah. If you're listening to this recording,
is Judge Dredd a villain, though?
Not really.
No. He's like, he enforces the law. He is the law.
He walks the line.
At this point in the question, if we're looking at chat, I don't think if they're actually a villain even matters anymore.
No, people are just writing whatever they want.
Someone says John Carmack.
JD2020.
Fuzzy Utterballs, apparently.
Lord Zedd from Power Rangers. Good point.
Ooh, not bad.
Rita Repulsa.
Rita Repulsa. The end of story. Rita Repulsa, dude. Oh, my God. It's actually, real quick, I work with a guy on Respawn programming team who used to do, watch back and did subtitles for every single Power Rangers episode for Netflix when the series went up. So we had to watch them over and over again for quality control and all that stuff. And he was just telling stuff about how crazy, like none of that footage, all the fighting footage and everything is all sent from Japan to the United States, like in set. So then they would have to make the U.S. story around whatever the fights were. But the fights were always the same. He's like, if you watch it, the fights are always the same. They're never different. They're just in different locales, and there's different. But it was all dictated by Japan. They were like, all right, well, just try to fill in all these. And there's it's all dubbed over most of it. If you watch now, watch back. It's crazy. He's got. We gotta get him on the podcast to talk about Power Rangers.
Listen, you're kind of ruining the Power Rangers story for me.
Sorry, right go now. Back.
The lore, okay. The lore of Power Rangers.
I don't care. You can't ruin the Pink Ranger. Yeah.
Kimberly, so everybody's Jigsaw. First crush, Kimberly.
Yeah.
My first crush was Clarissa.
Clarissa explains it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, she does. I don't know.
Okay.
And on
just
that
imagine
note,
how weird that's going to sound with your mustache.
Yeah.
Yes.
Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Topanga.
Topanga was.
All right, guys. Yeah. That is it for episode 67. I believe we have a guest next week.
I think we're going to have Nick Tetra Ninja on.
Yeah, yes. Tetra Ninja's with us.
Yeah, Tetra Ninja, Nick. Okay. Nice guy, loves to pass out in flower pots and bottles.
Big drinker.
Big drinker, yeah.
You will never let him forget that.
No, dude. When you pass out from a hotel that isn't yours in a flower pot.
And then proceeded to try and steal Mike Pollock's cot.
Yeah.
And then Mike had to get him out of his cot and onto the floor.
He passed out in a flower pot.
Oh, that's good.
Now, to put this in perspective as to how drunk he must have been, this was fuck you, cross me everything night for me.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, wow, that dude.
You were so drunk, but he's fucked up.
Wow, is that him in a flower pot? Holy shit.
And Nick has this problem where he decides he's going to drink, so he legitimately drinks. Pretty much the whole night he's drinking. Like, he doesn't understand the moderation, so you can enjoy the party. Nick doesn't party, Nick drinks. Yeah. There's two separate activities for Nick.
It's
there's
like
going
a chore.
To a party, and then
I guess
there's
I have to drink now. So, all right, guys, that's it for 67. On 68, obviously, Tetra Ninja will be on here next week to hang out with us. Thank you so much for hanging out. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at KBModGaming. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/KBMod. This week, a couple articles to highlight before we go. Build guides will be out this week, although we have a lot of overhauling to do because apparently every rebate in the world changed over the past few days. But we will have those out. Brandon's survival guide should be out
this
week. Yeah,
it'll be out sometime this week.
And of course, the stream schedule will be posted tomorrow, so don't forget about that. And we will see you next week, same time, same place, episode 68. Thank you so much for hanging out. Later, bros.
What was that?